B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Tainis Daf Tezvov. We're going to start from the first Mishnah of the second Perek. Says the Mishnah, Seida Tainiyos Ketzad. And the Gemara is going to conclude later on that this is referring to the last set of fasts, which were a set of seven fasts, that they would fast when there was no rain. What would they do? Moitzien es ha-teva, they would take out the teva, which is where the Sefer Torah was kept, l'rochivo shel'ir, to the city plaza, to the city square, to into the public. The Gemara said before it was called Befarhesia, it was a public place. V'noisnim efer makle al gabe ha-teva, and they would put ashes onto this teva. Even though efer often means dust and earth, when it says efer makle, it's referring to ashes, and ashes is somewhat even more of a derogatory concept than earth, and they would put these ashes onto the teva. Ubaroish hanosi, and they would put the ashes onto the head of the nosi, ubaroish av beizdin. And besides for the fact that people would apply these ashes to the nosi, and to the head of the nosi, and the head of the av beizdin, every individual would also put some ashes onto their own foreheads. Continues the Mishnah. Hazokin Shebahem, the elder amongst the people, Oymer Lefneim would say before them, Divrei Kvushim, which are words of Kavush, means to press, something that presses the heart, something that subdues the heart. And he would say as follows, Achenu, my brothers, Loinemar Ba'anshe Ninveh, when it was talking about the people of Nineveh, where they were threatened that if they wouldn't do tshuva and come closer to Hashem, Nineveh would be turned over. And it doesn't say that the decree was rubbed out, they were saved from it. It doesn't say, Vayare Likim, that Hashem saw Esakom, their sackcloth that they were wearing, Vestanisom, and the fasts that they were fasting. No. Elo Hashem said, the pasuk says, "Vayaru Elukim es maaseihem." He saw their deeds. Kishavu midarkom arab. They had repented from their bad ways. Vayinochem hu Elukim al ra'o, and Hashem decided not to destroy Nineveh. Ashadibir las islem v'loy osa. And this we know this from Sefer Yoina. Ubekabola hu oimir. And from the Nevi'im, it says in another Pasuk in Yoel, and here Rashi discusses why the Mishnah refers to a Pasuk in Yoel with the terms Ubekabola hu Oimir. Bekabola is a tradition, it means from the Torah, from the Nevi'im. Why it doesn't use that term with the Pasuk we just mentioned from Yoina? So Rashi discusses that. But either way, the Mishnah says Ubekabola hu Oimir, that it says in Yoel, Vekiru Levavchem. And they would, their hearts would be torn, and their clothes would be torn. That means they would repent to Hashem, v'shuvu el Hashem elikeichem, and they would return to Hashem. Kichanun v'rachum hu erech apayim rav chesed v'nichim al hara'o. So here as well, we see in the pasuk that they came back to Hashem and they mended their ways. Omdu b'tfila. And then they would, in this town, in the square, they would daven there. Meridin nifne ateva, and who would be the shliach tzibur? Who would be the one that's going to lead the tefillahs? And very often, when the shliach tzibur, the one who's leading the tefillahs, is called meridin, goes down, because mimamakim karasicha Hashem, tefillah always comes from the depths, from the heart. So meridin nifne ateva, zokin, an older person, varogil, and somebody accustomed to the tefillahs, in order that he should be fluent with his tefillahs, because the Gemara teaches us that if a shliach tzibur, a chazan, makes a mistake, it's not a good sign for those who have sent him. V'yesh leibonim, it should be somebody who has children, and that way his heart, his tefillahs are going to be even more heartfelt, and especially if he's got children to feed, he needs the rain in order to feed his children. Ubeisei reikom, and preferably somebody who's not too financially too well off. His home, so to speak, is empty, and that way he's really going to daven from the bottom of his heart. Kedei sheyehi libo yisholim b'tefillah, in order that his heart should be full, so to speak, in order that he should be davening in his tefillah with a full heart. Va'emer lifneim, and he says before them, Esrim va'arba brochis. 24 brachos, in contrast to the regular 18 brachos that we say. And we've mentioned earlier, 18 really means 19, because in Yavne they added in another bracha, v'la malshinim, but we're not going to keep mentioning that. The Shemoneh Esra is what we call the 18 brachos, and here between the bracha of Goyel Yisrael and Refa'enu, which is the 7th and the 8th bracha in Shemoneh Esra, they would add in another 6 brachos. And what are they? Yud Ches Shebechol Yoyim, besides to the 18 brachos they would say every day in Shemoneh Esra, Umoysif Aleim, he adds Oid Sheish, another 6. Ve'eluhen, and they are as follows. Zichroinos, and this is the psukim that they would say in Rosh Hashanah, the bracha of Zichroinos. 1. 2. V'shoifreis, the psukim they would say in Shoifreis. 3. El Hashem Batsarosoli Karosi Vaya'aneni, and this is referring to the entire Perek Kuf Chof in Tehillim. 4. Eso Einai Elehorim, this is the entire Perek Kuf Chof Aleph in Tehillim. 5. Mimamakim Karosicho Hashem, which is the entire Perek Kuf Lamed in Tehillim. 6. Is Tfilo Le'oni Kiyatoif V'lifnei Hashem Yishpeich Sicho, which is the entire Perek Kuf Beis in Tehillim. These are the extra, those are 5, the extra 6 brachas that they would add on in Shemoneh Esra. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Loi hoyo tzarech loimar zechroinus v'shoifreis. Rabbi Yehuda says that the first 2 of these 6, zechroinus and shoifreis, they would not say zechroinus and shoifreis, rather they would say Eloimer tachteim. In their place he would say Ro'ov kiyeh ba'oretz, there will be famine in the land, Dever kiyeh, there will be a plague in the land, Shidofo in Yerokim, Arbe, Chosel kiyeh, kiyotzer lo oivoy, ba'oretz she'orov, kol nega, kol machalo. That would be one posuk they would mention. And another one, instead of the shofaris, they would say a posuk in Yirmiyah, asher hayo dvar Hashem el Yirmiyah al divrei habatzoris. And these were the words Hashem said to Yirmiyah regarding the droughts at the time. And this is in Yirmiyah Perek Yud Dalet. Now, besides for saying these prokim, v'oimer chosmeim, every brocha finishes off with an ending. Alo rishoino, on the first part of the brachos that are extended due to the fast days, this is not the first of the 6. This is actually the bracha of Goel Yisrael, Ra'eva Onyenu, which is the first, which is the bracha which is regularly in the Shemoneh Esra. It's the 7th bracha of Shemoneh Esra, but on a fast day they extended it. So Al Rishayin, on this bracha of Ra'eva Hu Omer, he would add at the end of the bracha, he would say, Misha Ono Es Avraham Bahar HaMiriyah, that Hashem who answered Avraham on Har HaMoriah, who Yane Eschem, he should answer you, V'yishma B'kol Tzakaschem, he should hear the voice of your cry, Hayoyim Azeh, this day, and then Boruch Ato Hashem, Goyel Yisrael, which is the regular ending of that bracha. And then Al Hashniyah, which is actually the first of the 6 brachas, where the bracha itself, the text, the psukim mentioned, are those of Zichroinus, according to the Tanakhama. So Hu Omer, he says, after saying the psukim of Zichroinus, he says, Misha Ono al Aviseinu al Yamsuf, that, you know, because when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, it felt like they had been forgotten, they'd given up from ever being redeemed, and here Hashem remembered them and saved them from the Mitzrayim. That's why, in context of Zichroinus, of remembrance, then we add, Misha Ono al Aviseinu al Yamsuf, that Hashem who answered our forefathers at Yamsuf, Hu Yane Eschem, he should answer you, V'yishma Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Hazeh, Boruch Ato Hashem, Zoicher HaNishkochis, blessed is Hashem who remembers those things that sometimes feel forgotten. Of course, Hashem doesn't forget anything, but sometimes he doesn't act upon what he knows, and to us it feels like he's forgotten, and then Hashem changes that, so to speak, and remembers us and redeems us. Al Hashlishis, on the 3rd of the extended brachos, which is the 2nd of the 6, which is the Shofreis, Hu Omer, he says, he adds on after saying the Psukim of Shofreis, Hu Omer, Misha Onres Yeshua Bagilgol, that Hashem who answered Yeshua Bagilgol, and Rashi says that even though Klal Yisrael was still in Gilgal, this is referring to the Shofreis that were blown by Yerichoi, Hu Yane Eschem Yishma Bekol Tzakaschem Ayoim Azeh Boruch Ato Hashem Shemea Turua. The Hashem hears the sounds of the shofar. Al Harvias, on the 4th bracha, which is the 3rd of the new brachas, This is the what we said before, El Hashem Batsaros Ali Karasi Vayaneni, who Omer, he ends off that bracha, Mi She'ono Es Shmuel Ba Mitzvah, that Hashem who answered Shmuel by Mitzvah, Hu Yane Eschem Vishma Bekel Tzakaschem Ayoim Azeh, Boruch Ato Hashem She'mea Tzoko. Al HaChamishis, on the fifth bracha, which is the fourth of the extra six brachas, this is the perek of Esoeinai Lehorim, he says, and we know that Elio by Hara Carmel, he was standing on the mountains, which is in similar to the context of Esoeina Elehorim, and Hashem answered Elio Anovi on the mountains, Bahara Carmel, on the mountain Carmel, Hu Yan Eschem Vishma Bekel Tzakaschem Ayim Azeh, Boruch Ato Hashem Shemea Tefillah. Valashishis, on the sixth bracha, which is the fifth of the extra brachas, this is the bracha of Mimamakim Karosicha Hashem. On this fifth bracha, he says, Huaymir Mishaono es Yoinom bimimei adoga, the one Hashem who answered Yoino when he was deep down in the belly of the fish that had swallowed him, which is very deep down, Mimamakim, Hu Yane Eschem Vishma Bukil Takaschem Ayem Hazeh, Boruch Ato Hashem, Ha'oine Beis Tzor. Al HaShvi'is, on the seventh bracha, which is the sixth and final of the new brachas, which is the one where he says Tfila La'oni Kiyatoif, Hu Eimer, at the end of the parak, he says Mish'ono Es David Veshleimi B'nei Birushalayim Hu Yane Eschem Vishma B'Kol Tzakaschem Hayoim Azeh Boruch Ato Hashem HaMerachim Al Ha'oretz. And exactly what happened there with David HaMelech, Rashi says that there was a famine there, Vayhi Rav Bimei David, Shalishonim, Shono Achar Shono, and Shmuel Beis Perek Chof Aleph, and Shleim HaMelech, when he wanted to bring the Orin into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had to daven, or the famine that is mentioned in the time of Shleim HaMelech, so he would also daven, and his tefillahs were answered. Continues the Gemara. Maisa, there was an incident, Bimei Rebbe Chalafta, in the days of Rabbi Chalafto, Reb Chanino Bart Bent Radyoin. In their times, She'ovar Echod Lifnei Ateva, there was somebody who was the Shliach Tzibur, he was davening, he was representing the community, the public, in these tefillahs. V'gomar Es HaBrocha Kula. And he finished the entire Brocha of Goyel Yisrael, the seventh Brocha of Shemin Esra. V'lo'i Onu Achrav Omen. And the custom seemed to be that they didn't say Amen. They did say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus HaElohim Voed, but they did not say Amen. Tiku Koyanim V'Tiku. So then the Shamash, the Chazan, the attendant of the Beis HaKnesses, not the Shliach Tzibur himself, he would then say at the end of that Brocha, the end of the seventh Brocha, just before the six Brochas that were going to be added into the Shemayne Esra, he would say to the Koyanim, blow the Shofar, Tiku HaKoyanim V'Tiku. And he would then add, Mi she'ono es Avram avinu b'harim Maria hu yane eschem yishma b'kol tzakaschem hayim hazeh. That is what the chazan would say to that's what he would say at the end of the bracha. That means the shliach tzibur had already said this. But now the chazan was repeating this. And that was with the bracha of Goyel Yisrael. And now with the first of the six brachas that were being added, as we mentioned before, then the chazan would say, not the shliach tzibur, but the attendant of the shul would say, Hariu b'nei Arin Hariu, in contrast to the tiku, here it says Hariu, the Gemara is going to discuss that. He now said, b'nei Arin, which is the koyanim, sound the shofar with the truah. And then he would add, as we saw before, Misha'onro es aviseinu al yam sof huyane es chemishma b'kol tzakaschem hayoim hazeh. And then this sequence would follow with all the six brachas. There would be a tiku and horiu, tiku, horiu. And he would then add what the shliach tzibur had ended at the end of the bracha, the misha ono, and then the koyanim indeed would blow. Continues the Mishnah, ukeshebo dovar itzel chachomim. When the chachomim heard that in this shul, or in the time of Reb Chalafta and Reb Chanina bar Mentaradyoin, where there was this, that was the custom that the Shliach Tzibur would say the brachis and the community would not say Amen, then Omru, the Chachomim, said, Loik hayinu noegim kein. That's not our custom not to say Amen. Elo b'shar mizoch b'harabais. Only in the Beis HaMikdash itself and in the Harabais. In the Beis HaMikdash there, the custom was not to say Amen because one doesn't say Amen in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to see that later in the Gemara. But anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, they would say Amen at the end of every bracha. continues the Mishnah, Shalosh Tanyos Harishonos. We've seen till now that the very first time when it became clear that the rain wasn't coming down, the individuals, the pious people, would take upon themselves to fast. But that would not be something that was imposed on the community. And then, if the rain still didn't come down, then the community would have three sets of fasts. The first one comprising three fasts, the second set three fasts, and the third set seven fasts. And we're now going to discuss the differences, because obviously as time moved on, then things became more serious, the lack of rain became much more of an issue, and the fasts were more stringent. As we've seen in the Mishnayos, till now that there were more halachas and more stringent halachas with each one. Now before we carry on, the Gemara is now going to discuss something, or is going to mention something which we're going to discuss at length later on in the Masechta. And that is that the Shevet, the tribe of the Kohanim, they were split up into 24 Mishmoris, which is literally translated as watches, but there were 24 groups. Every week a different group would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Now each group itself was split up into six or seven, it's a discussion, but six or seven Beis Av. And every day that Beis Av would do the Avodah. And the other Kohanim that were in that Mishmar would not do the Avodah with the Beis Av, but if the Beis Av needed help, then they would fill in for them. Besides for that, there were the Anshei Ma'amodos, and that were the people which was groups of people comprised of Kohanim, Levim, and Israelim, that would be also situated in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, and in all other places, and they would be davening that the Korbonos should be well received by Hashem, and that everything should go well with the Avodah. So the question is, these different groups of people, to what point, to what extent would they fast on these fasts? So the Mishnah says, Shalosh Tanyos Harishonos, the first group of fasts, which were the most lenient of the three groups, then the Anshei Mishmor Misanim V'loy Mashlimim. The people of that week's, that family or that Mishmor of that week, they would fast, but they would not finish the fast. They would reserve some strength for towards the end of the day in case they would have to help the Beis Av, which is the subgroup of Kohanim that were actually doing Avodah that day, if they would need help, if the other people in the Mishmar, which it was not their day, if they would be fasting, they would not have the strength to help the Anshei Beis Av should the need arise. So they would fast, but they wouldn't, towards the end of the day, they would break their fast. However, the Anshei Beis Av, which are the people themselves, the group, a seventh of the Mishmar that would serve every day, they would not fast at all because they needed the strength to do the Avodah. Shalosh Shniyos, the second set of fasts, this was more stringent. So Anshei Mishmar, the people who are that week's group, but not the group that were actually doing the Avodah that day, Misanin Umeshlimin, they would fast and finish the fast, they would fast till the end of the day. Vanche Beis Av, but the people who are actually doing the Avodah, Misanim, they would have to fast, in contrast to the first group of fasts that they would not fast at all. Here they would fast, Vleim Ashlimin, but they would not have to finish the fast because they would need to break their fast towards the end of the day to have the strength to finish doing the Avodah. Sheva Achronos, the third set of fasts, which comprised of a group of seven fasts, Eilu ve'elu misanin u'mashlimin, also the Anshei Beis Av, also the Anshei Mishmor, would fast full days. Divrei Rabbi Yehoshua, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. The Chachomim also agree that it becomes more stringent with each fast, but they are a little bit one step more lenient. Shalosh Tanyos Harishonos, the first three fasts, Eilu ve'elu loy hoyu misanim klal, neither the Anshei Beis Av, and also the Anshei Mishmor would not fast at all. Shalosh Shniyos, the second set of fasts, Anshei Mishmor misanin v'loy mashlimin v'Anshei Beis Av loy hoyu misanim klal. That what Rabbi Yeshua said with the first set of fasts, the Chachomim say with the second set of fasts. Sheva Achronos, Anshei Mishmor misanin u'mashlimim. The Anshei Mishmor, who are not actually doing the work that day, they have to fast the full day, v'anshei beis av, but those who were doing the work in the avodah misanin, they would have to fast, v'lo mashlimin, and they would not have to finish their fast. And once we've discussed the differences between the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av, the Mishnah, by the way, digresses to a different halacha, that anshei mishmar mutarim lishtos yayin balaylois. We know that to do the work in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to be under the influence of wine. So the anshei mishmar, who it was not actually their day to do the avodah, they were allowed to drink wine during the night time. And we're not concerned that maybe the Anshei Beis Av are going to need help during the night to finish off the Avodah, which could happen, because this Anshei Mishmar, before nighttime, they would already be aware whether the amount of Korbonis that need to still be put onto the Mizbeach, most of the Avodah cannot be done in the night. But there is they do finish off some of the Avodahs, and it will be clear before nighttime whether that will be necessary, and the Anshei Mishmar will obviously not drink any wine should they be needed. But if they're not needed, they're allowed to drink wine. Avaloi bayomim, but in the days, they're not allowed to drink wine, even though it's not their days of doing the Avodah, but just in case their help is needed, they're not allowed to do the Avodah. They're not allowed to drink any wine. The Anshei Beis Av, however, the people who are doing the Avodah that day, then they're not allowed to drink wine, not during the day, and nor the night afterwards, because it's incumbent upon them to be continue being engaged through the night should it be necessary. Another halacha, anshei mishmor v'anshei maimed, that both the people who are actually belong to that week's, the kernim of that week's avoida, v'anshei maimed, which is what we mentioned before, these are the groups of people who would stand with the Kohanim, they would stand there and daven that the Korbonis should be accepted. They would represent Klal Yisrael and be present with the Korban when the Avodah was being done. Asurin Melesapir or Melechabes, they are not from the time that their week has started, and from the time that that group of Ma'amodois, it was their time to be the Anshei Ma'amodois, that whole week they would not be allowed to take a haircut nor wash their clothes. They would typically have a haircut at the end of the previous week. Ubachamishi, however, on the Thursday of their week, mutarin, they're allowed to, because mepnei kvoit Shabbos, because for in honor of Shabbos, they were allowed to have a haircut and do what they had to do, lekovod Shabbos. And they would do it on Thursdays, because Friday they were otherwise busy engaged in preparing for Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Kol HaKosuv B'Megillas Tainis D'Loy L'Mispeit. In the Megillas Tainis, which is a concept we've already mentioned, which is a brisa that was written down at the time where there were a number, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were many different Yomim Toivim that the Chachomim said this day on that day should be made into a Yom Tov. And on some of those Yomim Toivim, it says in Megillas Tainis, you're not allowed to give a hesper to eulogize on that day. So the Mishnah says, on those days that you're not allowed to give a hesped, on those days, lefon of osur, the day before it, you're also not allowed to, because if you give a hesped the day before, you may not remember, you may give a hesped on that day, which is a Yom Tov also. However, la'achra of mutter, the day afterwards, once the day which was a Yom Tov is over, then one was allowed to give a hesped. Rabbi Yossi argued, he was more stringent and said, Lefonov Ulaachrav Osar, that in order to protect this Yom Tov, that there should be no Hespedim, they made sure that they would not give Hespedim, not the day before and not the day after. Deloilis Ano, those Yomim Toivim that the Megillas Tainis says that not only, that it's not Osar to give a Hesped, it was only Osar not to fast on those days, which are the more lenient Yomim Toivim, then lefonov or la'achrov mutter. Then the Tanakhama says that it was mutter to fast on the day before it and the day after it. Rabbi Yossi again is more stringent and says lefonov osur la'achrov mutter. You are not allowed to fast on the day before this Yom Tov, but you are allowed to fast on the day after the Yom Tov. Continues the Gemishna. Now we're going back to the fast days which we're talking about here, when there was no rain and other tzoris, and they would have these groups of fast days. Then ein goizrim tainis ala tzibur betchilo b'chamishi. This is something we already mentioned on Daf Yud, that the first of the series of tanisim, which was a Monday, Thursday, Monday, should not start on a Thursday. Shelei lafkia sha'orim, because if you did, then the shopkeepers would suddenly see an influx of sales. People would suddenly be buying double because they need to break their fast on Thursday night and buy their Shabbos food. The shopkeepers, who may not be aware that it's a fast day, then they will think, hey, there's a shortage of food coming up and we better make our prices more expensive. And the Chachomim didn't want that, and therefore the fast days always started on a Monday, and by that time Thursday came, the shopkeepers were already aware that there was a series of fast days, and they would not be confused by the extra food that was being bought. The first set of the three fasts is a Monday, Thursday, Monday. However, the second set of fasts, once people already knew that they were fasting, they could be chamishi, sheni, v'chamishi, they could start on a Thursday. It's just the first set of fast days should not start on a Thursday. Rabbi Yosi argued and said, Rabbi Yosi said, any series of fast days should not start on a Thursday, only on a Monday. Continues the Gemara, the Mishnah, Ein goizrim tainis ala tzibur b'roshei chadoshim. The Chachomim do not lekatchila decree a fast day not on b'roshei chadoshim, not on Rosh Chodesh, b'chanukah nor on Chanukah, or b'purim and nor on Purim. V'hem ischilu, that means Rosh Chodesh is called a moyed, it's called a Yom Tov. Chanukah and Purim in the Maseches, in Megillas Tainis, which we've already seen earlier, that Chanukah and Purim actually, till today, is the only two Yomim Tovim that actually still stayed from the Megillas Tainis. Most of the Yom Tovim of Megillas Tainis are not practiced today. Chanukah and Purim are the exceptions, as we all know. However, if they started a series of fast days, and then just the calendar, the way that the new month started, back in the days, the new month was determined by witnesses that came to testify they'd seen the new moon. And it could happen that in this series of fast days they were fasting, it would suddenly be that one of the Mondays or Thursdays was a Rosh Chodesh, or possibly a Chanukah and a Purim, in Mafsik. And once they've started the series of fast days, we do not interrupt the series, and one fasts even on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah and Purim. Divrei Rabban Gamliel. That was the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Omer Rabbi Meir, afal pi she'omer Rabbi Gamliel ein mafsikin. Even Rabbi Meir commented that even though Rabbi Gamliel said that once you've started the fast days, you do not interrupt them. Moida hoya she'ein mashlimin. However, Rabbi Meir maintains that Rabbi Gamliel agrees that they would not finish the fast. Towards the end of the fast, they would break their fast because it was Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. Back in the days, today it cannot happen, our calendar doesn't allow for it, but in the days where the new month was determined exclusively by witnesses, it could be that Tisha B'Av would fall on a Friday, and it's not respectful to Shabbos to come into Shabbos so hungry, therefore they would break the fast towards the end of the day. Says the Gemara, Seder Tainu is Ketzad. This is going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, that what would they do on these fast days? Moitzienas HaTeva V'chulu. They would take out the Teva, which is the box, the ark, from where the Sefer Torah was kept, and bring it into the town square, and that's what they would daven. Now the Mishnah doesn't tell us whether they did this even in the first or second set of fasts, or only the last set of fasts. When I explain the Mishnah, I explain the Mishnah based on the conclusion of the Gemara that it's only the last set of fasts. The Gemara doesn't yet know that. So the Gemara says, "Afilu bekamaisa." Could it be that even the very first set of fasts, they would take the teva out into the square and daven outside? Or a minu? We've got a question on that. Sholosh Tainyus Horishonis Ushniyus. It's explicit that the first two set of fasts, Nichnosim lebeis haknesses, they would go into the shul, umispalim and daven kederech shemispalim kol hashana kula. They would daven exactly the same way as they would daven the whole year. Ubasheva achroinus, and only on the last set of fasts, which is the sequence of seven fasts, then meitzienes ateva l'rchoiva shel ir, only then they would take the teva out to the city square, v'noisnin efer al gabe ateva, they would put dust, efer on top of the teva, u'b'roish hanosi u'b'roish av beizdin, v'kol echod v'echod noitel v'noisnin b'roisha, and every individual put ash on his own head. And over here you'll notice it said that they would put afer, dust or earth, onto the teva. It doesn't say ashes, as it did in our Mishnah. However, in this braisa, Reb Nosson argues and says, afer makleh hoyumavim, they would bring ashes, they wouldn't just use regular earth or dust. But either way, we see here that the first and second set of fasts, they would daven in the shuls, not in the city square. Answers the Gemara Omer of Papa, Kitnan, Nami Masnisen, when the Mishnah says they would take the orin, the teva, to the Rchoiva Shalir, Asheva Achreinis Tanan, indeed it's only talking about the most severe and final set of fasts, which is the seven fasts at the end. Continues the Gemara, Ubaroish HaNosi, we saw in the Mishnah that somebody would apply the ashes to the head of the Nosi and to the head of the Beis Din. And afterwards it says, Kol echod ve'echod noitel v'noisem b'roishay, every individual would apply the ashes onto his own forehead. The question is, Eini v'otnan, did we not learn in a Mishnah, it's actually a braisa, Rebbe Oimer, b'gdula, when it comes to gdula, to things of significance, chashivos, or a mitzvah, maschilin min hagodol, then you start with the greatest. Or biklala, but when it's something to do with a curse and something negative, maschilin min hakoton, you start with the youngest or least prominent of the people. What's the source for this? Bigdulo maschilin min hagodol, when it's something of greatness, of prominence, we start with the most prominent people, shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, vayomer Moshe el Aaron, ul Elozor, ul Isamar Bonov. Moshe Rabbeinu would say to Aaron and then to Elozar and Isamar, his children. You see that first Elozar is mentioned, and then first Aaron is mentioned, and only then Elozar and Isamar, because there it was something of significance. You start with the oldest, with the most prominent. Ubiklola, however, regarding the curses, maschilin min hakoton, you start from the bottom. The Omar Mar, Bitchilo niskalil nochosh, in Parshas Bereishis, with the chet, the sin of Adam Rishon, Adam Rishon got punished, his wife Chava got punished, and the snake got punished. But who's mentioned first? Bitchilo at first niskalil nochosh, the nochosh was cursed. V'charkach only after that niskalil Chava was cursed. V'charkach only after that niskalil Adam. So you see that when it comes to curse, you start from the bottom and you move up. So if so, over here, this is a curse that there's no rain, and they have to put ashes on the foreheads of the people. Why do you start with the Nosi and the Beis Av, the Av Beis Din? Why don't you start with the regular people? Answers the Gemara, Ho chashivus liditu. In actual fact, the fact that the ashes are being applied to the Nosi and to the Av Beis Din is because of their prominence, because of their significance. Da'omri luhu, because we're actually saying to them, Atun chashivisu l'mibu alon rachmi, akule alma. You are the ones that can actually daven on behalf of all of us. And that's why we are putting the dust, the ashes on your forehead first, to show that you're the ones who are leading us, you're the ones who are going to bring us to salvation. And since that's a token of prominence, therefore it was done first. Continues the Gemara. Kol echod ve'echod noitel v'noisen b'roishay. Omer v'ada, v'chol echod ve'echod noitel v'noisen b'roishay. Nosi v'av beizdin nami nishkelu inu v'ninchu b'roishayu. Why is it clear in the Mishnah that every individual applies the ashes on his own forehead, but the Nosi and the Av Beis Din, somebody else would apply it onto their foreheads? Why is it that with them, other people apply the ashes for them? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Abba min Kisri, Rabbi Abba from the place of Kisri would say, because somebody who is embarrassed, it's not the same as somebody who, so to speak, embarrasses themselves, humiliates himself, than somebody who is humiliated by others. An average person, if somebody else puts ashes on their forehead, will not feel particularly humiliated. A prominent and significant person, when somebody else applies the ashes on their forehead, it will help them to become humble, and that's what we need here, that everybody should be extra humble and daven to Hashem with humility. Asks the Gemara Navaheicha Monachlu, it says they would apply it onto the heads of all the people. Where exactly? Omer Bitzchok says, B'mokim Tfilin, exactly the place on the forehead, above the forehead, where the Tfilin are put. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Losum La'avele Tzion, that they would they would establish that for the those mourning Yerushalayim, los eis lohem, to put for them pe'er, which is beauty, tachas efer, instead of efer, instead of the ashes, which means that the people who are mourning and have ashes, the tefillin, which is the beauty, is going to be put in their place. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya. So we see that when ashes are applied in mourning and in pain, as over here, when there's a drought, when there's a famine, and there's no rain, then it's put on the same place as the tefillin are regularly put. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.